Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
It is a very special edition of Free Talk Live.
It is.
Hell yeah, man.
For a couple of reasons, too, man. One, yesterday around 8:12 p.m. was the Bitcoin halving, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
The halving. I've combined halving and happening together to make a portmanteau, as I am wont to do.
That portmanteau is before you made it.
Whatever, it's fine. I'm still using it. The halvening. Right? I pronounce the L in halvening, just like salmon.
Stop, you're killing me.
Rushdie?
No.
That's the only one you're supposed to pronounce the L in.
But it is a special day because of that, but also it's a special day because, well, it's 420, April 20th.
Well, and to be fair, according to London time, which is the official of official times, it was like literally 9 seconds into 420 that the happening occurred.
Oh, according to like Greenwich Mean Time or whatever.
Well, I mean, London time is arguably money time.
Right.
Which is what Bitcoin is.
Right.
So
I can't pretty
so I'm counting it.
Yeah. Well, and 9 seconds in, right? You said so. I mean, that seems deliberate.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try and be Richie Rich and argue with you for the sake of arguing. Did you hear that, Richie? That's right. I said it. But also, not just because today is the halvening and the 420, but today is also a palindrome. And in fact, so is every day this week.
Ooh.
What's a palindrome?
Palindrome is the same thing forward as it is backwards.
Oh.
Like mom and dad and wow. These are the most simple examples. I'll give you a complex example.
Race car. Kayak.
No, I said complex.
Oh.
Son, I am able. She said, though you scare me, watch, said I. Beloved, I said, watch me scare you. Though, said she, able am I, son. That is a palindrome. If you say those words backwards, if you just read
from
them backwards.
From my palindrome eye of They Might Be Giants.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, I'll give you a historical palindrome. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Much more complex.
It sucks that the word palindrome isn't a palindrome.
I know.
That's a huge
missed
oversight.
Opportunity. Yeah. What are these linguists thinking?
Seriously.
Well, they were not cunning linguists.
They are not cunning.
That's for certain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, of course, the dates themselves are palindromes. So, 4202024 is 4202024 backwards, apparently. You're looking at me like, is
the
that
dates,
true?
Yeah.
You want to write it down? You want to bust out your magic rectangle and write it down and see if it's true? Go ahead.
Yeah, don't trust verify.
If only there were a device in which you could look up and or write down and or jot down the crazy things that Captain Kickass of Free Talk Live says on a Saturday and verify if they're factual or infactual. Is that even a word?
Infactual. Probably not.
I just made up a new word. Well, infactual.
I still would give you more credit than the linguists because you would at least create a word for palindrome that would have been a palindrome.
I'm far more cunning than the cunning linguists.
Absolutely.
So you were saying every day this week is a palindrome?
I believe so, yeah.
How does that work?
Well, 0421-2024.
Yeah, all the 2 ones, yeah.
0422-2024.
No. That doesn't work. No, because like 421-2024. No, 421 won't have a palindrome until 2124.
All right.
Well, wait, no. Do you need the 20, though, and of the 2024? I think that might be where
we're... Yeah, if you take out the 20, if you just go 24.
Because that is how some people record time, is like 4/20/24.
Right. If you do 04/21/24,
right.
You take out the 20 out of the first.
So you use the apostrophe.
Well,
back in 24,
I don't know about any fees,
a lot of people
and
do.
I'm not an apostrophe.
Who has ever called anything in like the year 2000 plus by just the last two numbers?
Well, dude, we're in the
like
early.
Everyone has called no, no, it like no. 2007, 2010,
no, no, no. They
2012,
call it,
they call 2015.
The odds, they call it the 10s,
no one calls
they call it the 20s.
Oh, in 15. In what? 15 what? I have not heard one person.
No, you call that the 10s. Back in the 10s.
Yeah.
And then if it's before the 10s, back in the aughts.
The people that use crypto for the freedom reason get richer. And the people that use crypto to get richer also become freer.
They do, but the problem that I'm trying to outline here that I've done unsuccessfully up until this point is that there are some people who are drawn to crypto for the freedom aspect.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they get wealthy.
Right.
And then they change. Because they've become wealthy. Now, some people don't, right?
Oh, yeah.
But some people do. And I'm not saying it's even like that big of a problem, but I have noticed that there are people on planet Earth who got into crypto, you know, a decade or more ago that got into it for the philosophical purposes of getting away from the banks, getting away from the governments. It's money of the people, for the people, by the people. It's not controlled by anybody. Government can't shut it down. Banks can't shut it down. All these reasons. But now they've gotten so wealthy that they almost no longer
care
about the like money does buy you freedom.
Right.
And this is a fact. And I'm not even trying to bag on the people who've gotten wealthy and like changed because of course it's going to change you. You have life changing wealth.
What are you
going to do with it?
Power.
If
too.
You look back into like the founders of this country, there are plenty of them that knew full well and put it in writing for all of posterity that the purpose of government was to protect the wealthy from the poor. I mean, to this day, there's a bunch of people that think that the only way that we can have property is by using a monopoly of violence to maintain the norm of it.
Yeah, that's not true.
So the fact of the matter is that it does an effective job if you play ball, you know, if you buy politicians like every other super wealthy person.
Yep.
Then it absolutely does protect the wealth of those who already have it from those who do not have it yet.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's plenty of people that they get very wealthy, and then all of a sudden, what has been their enemy, their oppressor, is now completely on their side, and then they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't get rid of this thing.
Yeah, this is why I try to prioritize personally to be as spiritually, mentally, and physically fit as I possibly can at this point in my life when I'm not as well off, because I know that if I prioritize these things now, it'll orient me to have the proper priorities and framework to actually handle wealth and enjoy it and not just let it, you know, consume me, like basically like having that sort of deliberate intention with life. And I think that that's the problem with a lot of these people is that like, they might have thought that they were living life intentionally or deliberately, but there might have been a spiritual deficit, or there might have been a moral deficit, or what have you, that basically like corrupted them as a result of them having all of this increased freedom. So,
yeah, it definitely makes it easier to follow the siren song into statism.
Yeah.
Well, and so, this is a question that, you know, I follow. I don't follow many sports, but I do follow the NFL, National Football League. And I don't follow the whole league either. I follow like one or two teams, mainly one. But that's beside the point. My point is, in the NFL, well, and in any of these sports where like
there's
a draft. It is. in any of these sports where there's like a draft or whatever, they actually give seminars, coaching. They hire like to here's how you handle being rich.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or at least here's how you handle being NFL rich. Like,
right.
even if
right.
you're like an undrafted rookie signing for the league minimum,
you still make a good amount of money.
You're still making kick ass money.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and so they bring in people into their orientation just by nature of being one of these, you know, people who, you know, athletes who, you know, get picked, if you will, to be on the team. They hire these people, these financial consultants, to be like, okay, here's what you don't do.
I mean, yeah, like if all you know is like, you know, football and all of that and that's it, I think it could be super feasible that you just spend all your money on hookers and blow.
Oh, yeah,
kids are like 20, You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
Getting drafted, you know?
Yeah, the same thing happens to them that happens to everyone who wins the lottery.
Right.
I mean, because you did not earn this money in the way that you will value it enough to protect it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have so much money that, like, it blows away all of your previous concepts of what these numbers mean.
Yeah, you're like, wait a minute. You mean I can take my car in to get it fixed before it actually breaks down?
Speaking of crypto, I know that it's the halving that just happened.
Halvening.
and it's 420. So I did create a special sermon for this week. That kind of combines both of these. So I kind of wanted to read it at the beginning instead of the end to sort of set the stage.
We have a caller on hold, but he'll hopefully stay there. So go ahead.
All right. So this sermon is made in honor of the Holy Sacrament of 420 as well as the Havening. In the Torah, God said in Genesis, in the context of creating the world for man, "See, I give you seed-bearing plant that is upon all the earth, and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit. They shall be yours for food." Genesis 1:29. When God created this holy proclamation to humanity, he was, of course, aware that he had given humanity cannabis, psilocybin, opiates, alcohol, and other plants or plant-derived substances that would change the human consciousness from its default state. Humanity acted on this guideline for nearly all human civilizations, with nearly every culture, empire, and leader taking mind-altering plants given to humanity by God for our use. For example, Marcus Aurelius, a Roman emperor, used opium. Additionally, in ancient Egypt, cannabis was used for medicinal, religious, and cultural purposes. Furthermore, psilocybin was used by the Aztecs, who referred to it as Tenacatl, meaning God's flesh, and it was used in religious and healing rituals. However, in the modern era, the government instituted its unholy war on drugs. This war is against the divine decrees of God and humanity's historical use of substances. The origin of this war on drugs primarily began in America with the institution of racist drug laws. The first anti-opium laws in America were made to target the Chinese. The first anti-cannabis laws were meant to target Mexicans. Finally, according to one of Nixon's top advisors, the war on drugs was meant to target blacks and hippies, since they were the administration's primary and political enemies and disproportionately used psychedelics, cannabis, and or opiates. For better or for worse, these laws are still on the books because the government is at war with everyone, not just minorities. The government believes that it knows better than God and your God-given conscience that you what you should do with your body and how to shape your consciousness using these plants. More importantly, the government feeds on humanity's disconnection with the divine, and it outlaws anything that would facilitate easier communication with the creator of the universe. Indeed, changing your consciousness from its default state is one of the easiest ways to bring you in direct contact with the creator of the universe and to foster deep spiritual connections. This is something that the modern-day state cannot allow to happen. The government seeks to have a monopoly on purpose and to have everyone devote their religious and moral energy towards the government rather than towards other human beings and to God. The internet and Bitcoin have actively fought the government from establishing this monopoly and have fought the unholy war on drugs head-on. In 2011, Ross Ulbricht established the Silk Road, an online market on the dark web that allowed for the buying and selling of God-given substances using Bitcoin. In a dark era of the tyrannical war on drugs, the Silk Road shined as a beacon for those who wish to break free from the government-imposed shackles on their consciousness. Because of the Silk Road, there were fewer government-imposed barriers to accessing these substances, less violence from drug deals, and the money used was not the U.S. dollar, the very money used to fund the war on drugs in the first place. In other words, the Silk Road was a holy creation using holy money to fight against the satanic forces of human control and slavery in the world. Ulbricht was sentenced to a double life sentence in prison plus 40-year sentence for fighting on the good side of this holy war. Fitting for someone who committed treason against the empire's greatest sins. The empire wanted to set an example to ensure that no one rebelled against it in this particular way. However, Bitcoin and the internet are uncensorable technologies that will operate without the permission of the empire. The dark web still brings these plants to humanity in a more open, peaceful, and permissionless manner than the street drug market. It also utilizes Bitcoin and incorporates privacy cryptocurrencies like Monero. So this 420, as you engage in your holy sacraments, do not forget the role that Bitcoin has played in this unholy war instituted by the American Empire. If we use cryptocurrency to end the U.S. government's stranglehold on our money, the empire does not stand a chance against our power.
I believe this is Crichton calling from Kentucky. Crichton, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you're right on the topic that I was calling about.
Sweet.
Yes. Bitcoin was designed to mimic gold in the currency marketplace. It does a wonderful job of it. But mm-hmm. earlier in the night, you guys were discussing the possibility of another Roaring Twenties as a direct result. And I'm here to tell you that is impossible with Bitcoin. And here's why. The main reason that the Roaring Twenties are known for that mm-hmm. isn't necessarily prohibition. It's actually the result of the establishment of the Federal Reserve. And the reason is because of, you've ever heard the phrase, the only response to high inflation is high living.
I haven't heard that phrase, but I can see what you would mean with it.
Yeah. Get rid of your money as quick as possible because it doesn't have a lot of value.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And that's very much the world we live in.
Yep.
And that was the world they lived in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
There was real inflation at the time. And even though they didn't really understand it, they could still inherently sense it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the young people, when they would get their money, they knew that they didn't want to keep it.
Right.
So what do you do when you're young? You blow it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Well, whereas, with the Roaring 1920s, Captain, with the Roaring 20s, a big part of it was that the stock market all of a sudden was open to everybody. And so you have the combination of printing money and all of a sudden ordinary people have access to all this printed money. So, yeah, you had a bunch of especially young people who all of a sudden they'd made a boatload of money on the stock market. They're not going to put it away for retirement mm-hmm. because that's what you do when you're young. You burn through it.
And what happens as a result of this easy access to money? Oh, I don't know. There was this thing called the Great Depression
right.
that resulted in there was a prominent term at the time called Hoovervilles. I don't know if you've heard of this,
mm-hmm.
Where President Hoover at the time was blamed for all this stuff. And like people were like living in these shanty shacks that they made out of like spare wood. And it was just abysmal living conditions as a result of the fiat system basically destroying people's quality of life.
Yeah, they were the historical equivalent to...
Tent cities.
Yeah. Tent cities, yes.
Yeah.
And this was right after what is pejoratively referred to as the Gilded Age, what I like to call America's Golden Age,
mm-hmm.
Where we didn't have a central bank and there was a relatively free market, at least globally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you see all of these really famous, really huge mansions being built at the times. Like in Rhode Island, there's these really famous mansions called the Breakers, and they're basically like small castles that were made by these industrialists that were just providing a metric ton of value to people. And then you had quick, easy access to money, and it destroyed all of it.
Crichton?
And Biltmore was built in the same time period. The largest single family residence in the United States, at least. I'm not sure if it's the entire world, but it's enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
a lot of New York City was built during that time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to point out as far as like the possibility of a new Roaring Twenties. Only this time, legitimate. What I'm trying to point out is that, okay, so this entire time, for over a century, all of the wealth that would have been afforded to ordinary people has been stolen. 100% mm-hmm. of the wealth of our technology has been stolen from us, and then a little bit more on top of that. And they try to keep that little bit more on top to about 2%, and they'll make sure to push it up if it's under 2%. But if we, it, when when we switch to sound money, we will actually get back all of our wealth of the technological improvements that have happened over the last century. So all of the ordinary people will be legitimately wealthy in the way that they were suddenly wealthy in the 20s.
And the people that have adopted the freedom money and have held it for long enough have already been experiencing these benefits. You look at the cost of a house over time in Bitcoin, and it goes down by more than half. Like, generally, it's by like four times the amount in a 4-year span.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're already reaping the benefits. So it's really a matter of who's going to be the quickest to adopt this internationally usable piece of money.
Right.
Well, my objection to that point of view is because during the 20s, one of the main reasons you saw that, and it was called the Roaring 20s, is because the people that earned the money didn't really have a way to save it anymore. And because they lacked that, they saw no better option than just spend it and party. Now, Bitcoin itself is the way to save that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't see the same result occurring.
Well, it'll be roaring in a different way. It'll be roaring in that we're able to save and create a ton of innovation as a result.
Why, man? Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
That's right. It's a
happy Holy Sacrament Day.
It's a special day for anybody who is a marijuana enthusiast, or even if you're not, but you still believe in freedom and the fact that people own themselves and should never be prosecuted, persecuted, chastised, or otherwise prohibited from putting whatever the hell they want into their own damn bodies.
Yeah, I thought this was America. I thought that you owned yourself, that we abolished slavery, what, like 150 years ago?
Oh, no. Slavery was not abolished. This is a common misconception. It was just turned from overt slavery, which is taking 100% of your life's effort right from you for the purposes of whoever your master is.
But, Captain, the Constitution says that we abolish slavery.
And now it's just slavery light, where, like, somewhere between 20 and 50% of your life's effort is taken from you involuntarily. But other than that, you're, quote, free, unquote, to, like, make your own job choice.
And it's way more than that.
Whatever plantation you want to live on, you're welcome to go to.
We will let you assign yourself to any part of our plantation almost all of the time. Once a year, we're going to force you to do this thing that you would rather not do. But most of the year, you
like
can
5 days ago?
Yeah, yeah. Well, but most of the year, you can work any part of the plantation you want.
Well, and if you use the slave money, they're taking way more than 20 to 50%.
Yes.
Yeah. There is that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know,
they're taking more than 100%. It's usually like over the course of your lifetime, like 300, 400, 500%.
Yeah, the money they actually take in via taxation is, I don't even think it's enough right now to pay the interest on on the loans they've taken out from the Federal Reserve. So you are collateral in a banking transaction. If I can't say slavery in any other way, that's it. You are collateral in a banking transaction. Your unborn children, unborn children are collateral in a banking transaction.
And by unborn, we don't just mean like in the womb. We mean not even a twinkle in your parents' eyes unborn.
Yeah. You got a
and their children.
You got a 12 or 13 year old. Yeah, in like 5 years, when you know they start. Oh, they accidentally got pregnant. Well, guess what? That child in debt.
Yeah,
even before it's born.
Yeah,
yeah. I heard an absolutely perfect term for the circumstance that we're in: monetary feudalism.
Ooh,
yeah, because nice. He was pointing out the whole like
it's going in the notes.
Yeah, the whole capitalism thing, right? And like, well, even though that term was originally from Marx and it was a criticism, it's actually a really good way of putting a pin on exactly what the difference was that had made us wealthy, that had improved human life, was putting a certain amount of our production aside just to make more production. Like, not consuming 100% of what we were producing was why technology went forward.
Yeah.
And what that had been contrasted with originally was just regular old nothing to get excited about feudalism. But what we have now is backed into feudalism. Mm-hmm. But instead of serving the king, you just serve the monetary overlords, specifically the people that A, have the most already, and they are always B, closest to the money printers.
And when you're used as a piece of leverage for this system, you have to trust that those that control the money printers will do so appropriately. And if you look at all of the value that the U.S. dollar got, which, you know, by no stretch of the imagination would it have been enough to sustain the system, it was mostly by imposing an international tax on other countries through forcing them basically to take our money. But ever since the Russia-Ukraine thing happened, in which we invalidated Russian, you know, bonds or whatever, like all the money that they had in the U.S. system just disappeared, nobody trusts us anymore.
Right.
Like, why would you? Like, if you're a friend or you're our enemy at this point, why would you trust America?
I have a new a term for the Russia-Ukraine thing, except you got to flip it around. It's the Ukraine-Russia thing. And so if you put it together, it's the Ukrusha.
Oh, nice. Portmanteau of the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I just thought of it just now.
Oh, nice.
Too. You're like the Russia-Ukraine thing, and I'm like, the Ukrusha. Yeah. That sounds like it sounds very empirical.
Yeah, almost sounds like Nuke Russia, which, you know, if we continue down this path, is an ever scary increasing possibility.
I believe this is El Conejo in FEMA Region 13. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey guys, for once, I'm not calling in about Monero, Goldbacks, or Javier Mille.
Huh, weird. Okay, so what's on your mind?
So I kind of want to just timestamp an idea across almost 200 radio stations. My major in college was evolutionary biology, and I wanted to throw out this idea about the placebo effect.
Okay.
Because I hear it come up. I hear it come up on Free Talk Live quite a bit, especially on nights that I. So science has established the placebo effect is very real, but it's very hard to ascribe why it is real scientifically.
Israel.
So there's a lot of like sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
So there's a lot of like mysticism and woo-woo attached to why it occurs, especially on nights that I refer to as estrogen talk live. But I think I think the reason that the placebo effect is real is because looking at genes and gene flow and protection of the whole population from a holistic perspective, if there is a threat to the entire population, gene population, it makes sense that a person would subconsciously or at a genetic level choose to extinguish themselves and give the entire population a buffer zone that allows a pushback on a virus or a fungus or a environmental pressure on the entire population as a whole. Does that make sense?
It does.
I'm not quite following.
Like, it sounds to me like you're describing something that has been found, I'm going to say recently, in the last, I don't know, 20 years, with like mushrooms and other plant life, where like, a mushroom or a plant on one part of the planet Earth can experience a thing, and another mushroom or plant somewhere else on planet Earth, hundreds, thousands, millions of miles away, whatever it is, receives that information somehow. We don't know how, right? The mycelium network or whatever it is, right? You know, but like they all get the message, right? And it's my opinion that that's how the placebo effect works. It's sort of a riff on, what's the word I'm thinking of with the viruses? Herd immunity, right? Once you, like with an inoculation that is effective against a virus, once you inoculate a certain portion of your population, whether it's cattle, whether it's humans, whatever it is, all of a sudden the rest of the animals in that population are also now immune. You have achieved herd immunity. No one knows why. Nobody can really explain how that transpired, but it does. Am I off base here?
Isn't there an explanation for that? I thought that the explanation was that you make it so that the virus has no one to grab onto, and so it just kind of dies off. Whereas if it did have one person to grab onto, it could sort of foment and cultivate within that person and mutate.
But it's not called it's not called disease die-off. It's called herd immunity, meaning if you didn't get the injection, you somehow have become immune to the thing, to the virus.
Well, because there's not enough hosts for it to survive. Like, I think that's why. Like, if there were enough members of the herd that weren't...
I don't see how that is in any way connected to...
Let's take it back
placebo.
To the plant and the mushrooms, right?
Okay.
They somehow... Like, the placebo effect is when you go for one of these clinical trials, right? And you're like, oh, you've got cancer or something like that. We're trying a new drug, right? We've got 100 people doing this trial. We're giving 50% of you, 50 of you, the actual drug, and the other 50 of you we're giving nothing. We're giving you a pill that contains nothing, water, sugar, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. It just contains nothing that's going to heal you whatsoever. And yet, the people who take the pill with nothing, like, see the benefits of the drug,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right? So how does that happen, right? This is the same thing that happens in, like, the plant life that I was describing, where, like, a plant has a thing happen to it, and another plant miles, hundreds, thousands of miles away somehow gets that message. How does that happen? These are the unexplained bits of humanity.
Well, you're trying to connect two things that I don't really see have a bunch of connection and just say that because they're unexplained, that's why they're connected. Is that basically where you're getting at?
Yeah, well, like, these are definitely mysterious things, but right. I don't see how they're... I definitely don't see them as the same thing.
All right, Crichton?
Well, what I'm saying is that the sugar pill is effective because the person taking it thinks it's effective.
Right.
Whereas believes. If you didn't take more than thinks, believes.
Yeah.
Right, believes. What I'm saying is the person who doesn't think that there's a way to get healthy is essentially there's a overriding species-level shutdown device that protects the entire population or herd by saying, okay, you think there's a high risk, so we need to shut you down to protect
So you're saying that the absence of a placebo effect in some people is the species protecting itself from the belief that there is nothing that can help this? Or am I not hearing you right?
Yeah, I think yes.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
A quick shout out to Germany for legalizing recreational marijuana use.
Today?
On the 1st of April, as it turns out.
Oh, okay. They should have legalized it today.
Did you say the 1st right? of April?
Vapril. Yep. Adults are allowed to carry up to 25 grams of cannabis and cultivate up to 3 marijuana plants at home.
Wait, nice. Grams is, what do we call it? The decimal system, right? What's the word for that?
The metric?
The metric system, yeah. Yes, thank you. So how many, what's the breakdown?
In pounds imperial. Versus
how many grams are in an ounce? Wait,
what was that? 28 grams. Our executive producer says it's 28 grams for 1 ounce.
Oh, so just under an ounce.
Yeah, a little under an ounce.
That seems low.
Well, to just carry around with you.
Yeah, but
also,
like,
it's Germany, man. I mean, they are locked down.
Yeah, honestly, I'm shocked that Germany legalized it before
McDonald's.
America did. Well, I mean, yeah, but that should just be more so why they would have a cartel against cannabis. Yeah. Because drinking is such a big part of their culture.
I mean, that's why we can't get legalized cannabis use in New Hampshire.
So, yeah, like, definitely. But we do. We have legalized cannabis use.
We have decriminalized cannabis use.
Okay. But, like, why do you want it to be state-sponsored?
I don't.
Well, I just want
That's what everybody's asking.
No, I just
for.
Want people to be allowed to grow it. That's my big priority.
Yeah, I just want it to be like...
Well, so then we don't have decriminalized marijuana.
Well, yeah, you can't grow it, and if you're growing it...
We only have lowest priority prosecution marijuana.
Well, they're going to assume that if you're growing it, that you're a dealer, which, honestly, you probably are, because, like... People aren't going to smoke their whole plants.
Yeah, but dude, if I grow tomatoes, I'm probably not going to
eat all. Challenge accepted.
I'm probably not going to eat all the tomatoes I grow, so I'm going to give some away. I'm going to can some. I'm going to. I'm not a tomato dealer.
I'm not saying it's unreasonable. Well, no, they would normally regulate you as a tomato dealer, but they say under a certain threshold that you're not.
Remember, we're talking about the people who literally kick down lemonade stands.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
They would absolutely call you a tomato dealer.
That's what I'm saying. Like there's a whole bunch, which is great. Like, I applaud...
Kicking down lemonade stands.
No. The late libertarians to the weed legalization party, right? But, like, legalization is not the answer, because what you're doing... The commonly accepted term for legalization across the 50 United States is state-sponsored recreational marijuana sales, where the state controls how the stores operate. They control how the distributors get the marijuana. They control how the growers grow the marijuana, right? They control every aspect of it and tax every aspect of it up until the point where you buy it at the store. That is not legalization.
Yeah.
That is state fascism. Right, over something that you should be free to grow, consume, package, repackage, sell, barter, whatever it is.
Like, yeah, we need legalization the way that we have legalized petunias.
Right.
Well, you know why they don't do it in that way, and it's the same reason why they would go after you for selling weed and not go after you for selling tomatoes. And I talked about this in my sermon. Which is basically that they want to have a monopoly on purpose, and they realize that these substances facilitate communication with the divine and with realizing your true purpose and your true self, because it makes you think about these things differently. So they want to have a complete control and stranglehold over these things. They don't want you to just be able to grow something that subverts their power in your backyard. That's ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah, not just intentional monopoly, right. Like on purpose they have a monopoly, they want absolute control of everyone's purpose for existing.
Yep. Shouldn't the proper libertarian stance on this be abolish all marijuana laws?
Yes.
Not legalize it, let's petition the state to make it so that the state can tax us and so we can finally go down the road to the pot
shop. And there were bills introduced by pro-liberty reps in New Hampshire to just repeal the drug law statutes. Like, that's already been done, unfortunately. But I mean, there are liberty people that are doing exactly what you're saying in the state. I haven't seen it done anywhere else, but we're the libertarian homeland.
What I'm seeing is libertarians clamoring for the state to get involved and legalize it like it is in Mass, like it is in Vermont, like it is in Seattle.
Libertarians do that, but they're the same libertarians that are like, oh, well, you know, you have to have a monopoly on force to determine what property is. Like, they're basically
sounds like a not a libertarian.
Well, I mean,
So I am willing to accept
not going
to
argue there.
Look, they're never going to stop controlling every little thing, but I am going to be happy the day where they do not care if I grow a plant.
Yeah.
And that has been noticeably absent from almost every bill that has ever come up in New Hampshire.
Jeremy, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for calling on the Sip Line. You sound awesome,
You sound sweet.
Mm-hmm. What is on your mind?
I've been running the Free Talk Live TikTok channel, and I called in, a few times several weeks ago.
Well, thank you for your service, first and foremost. We appreciate you.
Thank you. And I've got it from, it started at 215 followers and currently at 7,187.
Nice. Great job.
And we're trying to get to 10,000. Once it's at 10,000, you have to have at least 10,000 to stream something. So I'm going to stream LRN 24/7 on TikTok once we get to 10,000.
Nice. Awesome.
So young people can find out about liberty. So anyway, yeah, actually, I don't know if any of you heard Wednesday or Thursday night's show, but I've been calling in as the TikTok correspondent so that keyboard warriors can have their voice heard on air.
Appreciate it.
But someone named Josh has made a suggestion for the Crown of Shame that it should have taxation. I love taxation written on the Crown of Shame.
Oh, jeez. Wow,
ouch. That's horrible. I like it.
And then I was listening in the last segment when you were talking to Crichton about the placebo, and it made me think, and I haven't had any...
I believe that was El Conejo. Accidentally called him Crichton once. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, right. Anyway, it made me think that what about the people for whom the medicine doesn't work in the trial? Are they pessimists that think they've gotten the placebo?
Oh, God, I'm so glad that you brought this up, because there's something I wanted to bring up last session that I didn't get to.
All right.
So the COVID vaccine, what the hell is up with that, man? Like, seriously, because...
You'll have to be more specific.
Because the world was brainwashed into thinking that this was the one solution that would just make it so that COVID disappeared face of the earth. And yet, people that are vaccinated get it at a higher rate than the unvaccinated. They die from it at a higher rate than the unvaccinated.
Yep.
But they have all of this placebo effect working in their favor.
Yeah, there must be an astonishing amount of, like, just toxic, horrible, I don't know what, in that thing for it to overcome the extreme power of the placebo effect in this circumstance.
Exactly.
Like, how bad for you is this thing that, like... Number one, almost everyone who gets it really believes that it works.
Mm-hmm.
B, everyone else is at least very heavily encouraged to believe that this thing works.
Yeah.
So, like, in case you're, you know, in case you're running one of those worldviews where, like, okay, but if no one else believes it, then I just become the crazy guy if I act like I believe it. Well, okay, everyone else has had the maximum amount of propaganda that this thing works, and yet they're dying.
Right.
And they're getting the disease that they're supposed to be inoculated.
Hmm? What's that, Jeremy?
I said, oh, whoops, we've just been banned from TikTok.
Oh, that was a good run.
I'm not surprised.
Only kidding.
All right, kid.
I'm one of those. I don't know if I'm in the minority of libertarians. I certainly don't believe in mandates or that anybody should be forced to take it. But I've had the vaccine and I believe in it. And with statistically, you're saying that more people who have had the vaccine have died, but far less people are dying than were dying before the vaccine. So
when you stop including like car accidents and like people that got sick from the flu,
stop paying like $1,000 per death.
Right. Like, you stop incentivizing the hospitals recording every single death as a COVID death. Yeah, it's a shocker, you know? Like,
you start letting people see their grandparents in the, you know, old folks home again and they have purpose to live now because they can get a hug again.
Yeah, and people are going outside and like getting fresh air again. Like, yeah. It's so weird that people are all of a sudden healthier.
Yeah. So there's two things that are that I want to point out. Number one, even to start looking at this, you cannot trust what they call a COVID death versus not a COVID death.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start out by looking at all cause mortality to even start to think about this thing. Also, it is the standard life cycle of every virus that it starts out much more destructive and less transmissible, and it becomes less destructive and more transmissible because the variations that don't kill the host tend to survive better.
Yeah, it's in the virus's best interest to become less deadly over time.
Right.
We began to talk about this article from Newsweek talking about how human evolution might be more bizarre than we once thought, according to a new study. This study implies or possibly even proves that the more competitive Homo sapiens are, that's us homos. We're all a bunch of homos.
Homos. Yeah.
If you're listening, you're a homo. We're all homos. that it seems to say that competition breeds evolution is sort of the TLDR so far. Why is our evolutionary tree so weird? The author asks. Well, according to Van Holstein, that's the person in this study, it probably has something to do with our use of technology. Quote, adoption of stone tools or fire or intensive hunting techniques are extremely flexible behaviors, Van Holstein said.
Mm-hmm.
A species that can harness them can quickly carve out new niches and doesn't have to survive vast tracts of time while evolving new body plans. So our ability to create and use technology allows us to evolve faster than the physical form can, because mm-hmm. now we can build things to help protect us, right? All that kind of good stuff.
Well, and I cannot overemphasize the flexibility of using fire.
Yes.
I mean, if you think about all of the things that are now building materials, they did not used to be. But we have a very, very intricate way of using fire, yes. and now we can build with those things.
Right.
Well, and this makes me think of the way that libertarian theory kind of intersects with evolutionary biology, yes. which is that, like, property is literally an extension of yourself. It is an extension of your ability to improve as a species. Like you said, it's more than just your physical body. You are literally increasing your ability to do more. You are evolving as a result of how you interact with nature, which, you know, is a part of you.
And the competition part brings us back to currency that we've been talking about in the first, the second and third segment mostly.
And we talk about it all the time.
Well, and this is why we know, well, another way that we know that the defining characteristic for original property is where your extension of yourself meets nature.
Mm-hmm.
And where it meets nature and nature becomes transformed, the thing that it becomes transformed into is another extension of you.
Right.
One of my favorite stories is of the Native Americans who would find like a sapling, like a tree. And it's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, only 5 feet tall or something. It's not, you know, full grown or mm-hmm. anything yet. And what they would do is they would you know, pound a stake into the ground and bend the tree in such a way that it would grow with an arced curve in it. And then at the right time, whenever it was the right size for them or the right angle, they would then chop the tree down and turn that into a bow. As a bow and arrow.
Nice.
Right? So, like, that is the ultimate, like, sort of, you're like, okay, here's some nature. I'm going to put some labor into mm-hmm. this piece of nature to make it grow in such a way that I can make use out of it later on. I'm going to come back in a year, 2 years. I don't know how long they let these things go before they became, you know, able to be made into a bow for a bow and arrow. But, like, this is what they did.
Yep.
Right? And so that's ingenuity in evolution.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and it's technology that benefits everyone. Like, the second that the first human found out about fire, like, humanity's destiny just changed, regardless of if you were the one that actually possessed the technology.
Right. Game-changing technology is something that I have missed out on repeatedly in my life.
Well, you won't this time.
Up until cryptocurrency.
Yep.
I was like, oh, I'll be an SOB if I'm going to miss out on this one, because I've seen the curve. I've seen these life-changing technologies. You can go fire, you mm-hmm. can go wheel, you can go telegraph,
yeah,
telephone, television.
Electricity,
yeah. Right, you know, the internet,
yeah.
Right? These are like life-changing technologies
yeah.
That are immediately recognizable once they're implemented.
Yeah,
I'd point out glass in a
big
way.
Yeah, very
oh,
much
that's
so.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you wouldn't have had any of this stuff
yeah,
without
you couldn't
that.
Have had tubes for yeah. your you know original electronics. You mm-hmm. wouldn't have had even something to drink out of, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that
right.
kind of thing. Pressurized sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Storage.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't underestimate
windows,
that. Food preservation, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. getting yeah. your sunlight even though it's, you know, freezing cold out.
Oh, yeah, that yeah. was a big thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Saving a lot on building materials because you didn't have to have every single square foot be wood or whatever.
I believe this is David calling. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. Excuse me, let me get my speakerphone off, please.
All right, very well. While we're waiting, we will, I don't know, whistle while we work.
Calling from Jackson, Michigan.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Gosh, a bunch of things. every time I get you on WKHM in southern Michigan, about 30 miles south of Lansing, probably about 70 miles up to Dearborn, Michigan. But what you mugs do for me is open up my eyes and thoughts of how much is going on.
Well, thank you.
Now, I understand New Hampshire is a pretty cool place.
I'm told Michigan ain't so bad.
Not at all. But I'm on the Jackson's on the I-94 corridor. Runs Detroit, Chicago.
I'm familiar.
And I guess I got a couple of questions I want some thoughts on. Like I say, Dearborn is like 70 miles. Death to a honorably discharged United States Marine. You're talking to mugs, and I was a short in the service, but when they chant death to America, now I did live in that area a long time in the shoe business.
Okay.
But, so this death to America, kind of rhetoric. Can I get thoughts on that?
Oh, so what you're talking about is Dearborn, Michigan, which is famous for having a predominantly Muslim and also predominantly Palestinian population. Is that like sort of the context here? Is a lot of these like anti-Israel, pro-Palestine rallies or whatever?
Yes, and Rashid.
Oh yeah, Rashida Tlaib. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's like one of the worst House members, not just because she's a communist, but also just because she hates Western values and, you know, property rights, and wants to establish a system of Sharia law, basically. And that's how she got elected, was because she's in that district where Dearborn is.
Yeah, my first thought is, what do you mean by America? Because, I mean, if by America you mean the corporate fascist empire that is putting the entire planet into a monetary fiefdom, then yeah, I'm against that too.
Yeah.
If by America you mean these ideas of individualism and property rights,
right,
well, then that puts us on the opposite side.
Right.
And
well,
there's another definition too, which is both of the continents, North and South America, right, makes everybody in that geographic area an American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but if you look at what an Islamic communist is trying to do, they're probably trying to get rid of both.
Mm.
Both of those things that you mentioned.
Islamunist.
Nice one.
Two portmanteaus like in the same
shot. Nice.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'd just say that Michigan Avenue goes directly through Dearborn, Michigan, and I've taken that route a couple, three or four, many times in my life. Usually I'd use 94 parallels it. Look down the side street, and it does look like, like Middle Eastern all the time.
I certainly wouldn't want to live there. I'm the kind of person that, very openly identifies as Jewish, and, they don't tend to like my kind in their neighborhood, probably, so...
Sure, and I was just going to say that there was no real problem for 10 years I lived there. I'm 61 now, but now that all this is coming up here recently, and I don't know you guys, you mugs ages, but gosh darn, I'm a little bit concerned.
We're not just seeing what was talked about last segment with Dearborn. We're also seeing Islamic courts being established in Europe and also in Canada and a lot of other places. So they are doing what I suggest libertarians do to be successful, which is to build parallel institutions that people rely on for themselves. But the difference between our ideology and theirs is we want to use these parallel institutions to free people, whereas as far as I'm concerned, Islam is a statist system. Like, their goal is to have a government under an Islamic unified international caliphate, very similar to communism, but to have it be a religious state. So basically what our government is, but being way more explicit about it.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Right, yeah.
Or in this case, the Islamic Inquisition.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's just something to stay mindful of. I'm not saying that you should be mean to Muslims. A lot of Muslims don't even know that this is the end goal, like even though their scripture very clearly states what the goal is.
Yeah.
But it is like it is something that you have to keep in mind that this is an inherently imperialist ideology, and it's why it was so successful and has what 1.2 1.3 billion adherents, something like that.
Yeah. It's interesting that you like a sub point of what you just said. I know many people who subscribe to religions, right? They're mm-hmm. like, I'm a this, I'm a that,
yeah,
you know, I attend this service, or no, that's the day I do the thing, mm-hmm. whatever. And, like, many of them have no idea what their ideology is about.
Yep, they
just,
totally.
They just go because, like, their parents went, and, oh, yeah, right. As a kid, I had to go to, like, Sunday school or whatever. Right. And, you know.
But you still see that donation plate being passed around when they're there. And you know, like, that money sometimes goes to fund some evil S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sure does.
Yeah.
It sure does.
So, just something to keep in mind. Like, my worry is that people are going to treat all ideologies the same, because that's what the West tends to do, of like, oh, you know, we're just a hodgepodge of different like cultures and identities, and like, you know, we're a melting pot. And it's like, yes, in a lot of ways that's true, and yes, in a lot of ways there are benefits to that, but there are also ideologies that would seek to exploit that.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah,
and it's 1.9 billion.
Oh,
by the way.
Yeah. See,
yeah,
well, that's
they're a quarter of the planet.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, is that the West is not really pro-natalist anymore. So if we get, oh, and I remember last time, people might not know what that means, pro having babies, basically. And if this is something that the West keeps doing, they're going to import people that don't share their values, which is what's happening in Europe. And once they're here, they have babies more than the people that believe in individualism and property rights do. And then Bob's your uncle, like you don't have liberty anymore. And it's not even from the government taking over. It's just a pure babies game. Tyranny can happen with bullets or with babies, you know, well, as Kahana said.
So I'm actually completely in favor of them having their own courts. I just want the same right.
True. Yeah. But I mean, it just like the government system, it's not a system that wants to coexist with you. It's a system that wants to dominate you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That is government in a nutshell, a system that wants to dominate you.
Yeah.
And like people will try to get involved with it with what I'm going to call noble intent. They falsely believe that, you know, oh, if I become a, you know, a cop, or, you know, I don't know, some board of directors of the yeah. parks department or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They think they're doing some good for their community.
Yeah.
For their families or friends, you know, the part of town that they live in, all that kind of stuff. When in fact they are dominating mm-hmm. their fellow man with the use of force. And that, I think, is, you know, I don't want to speak for all three of us, but I think we agree that that is what the state is. Yep. It is the use of force. It is dominating you to get you to conform to their will, not yours.
Yeah.
Theirs.
Yeah. And the thing that makes it unique is that no one pushes back against that. Any other organization, if they start using violence and threats of violence, everyone knows that that's wrong, and to some degree or another, everyone will at least withdraw resources from the person being antisocial. Whereas with the organization type known as government, that is what is expected. And if you find out that they are no longer using violence and threats of violence to get their way, is when you think something has gone wrong with government.
No, that's when I think something's wrong. Oh, you're no longer going to use force and the threats of violence to make me pay tax?
What did you do, defund the police?
These are good things, in my opinion, in the evolution of humanity. There are some people, of course, who would like to see a revolution, a clash. And depending on how you look at it, like an argument can be made for anyone who does something violent in retaliation is acting in self-defense.
Yeah.
Right? So, mm-hmm. like, because the government has been dominating you since you were born.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you do act out violently in retaliation, that an argument can be made for that being self-defense. Now,
But some forms of self-defense are more effective than others.
Right. Just because it's not evil doesn't mean it's not stupid.
Yeah.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.